Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, for the next 30 minutes, we're going to continue in this discussion that is seldom trodden here on my broadcast, the paranormal, things like that. But we're interviewing on IMDb, it's Secret Stone. They've changed the name of the film to Greystone. And it's from their own personal experiences, Sean Stone. Again, more cameos than Alfred Hitchcock, director, producer in his own right, his father, Oliver Stone, and Alex Wraith, his friend, who he's co-writer, co-creator of Greystone. And we'll also talk to him about when hopefully we're going to see this film hit. And Alex Wraith will be joining us coming up in the next segment. Then we're going to shift gears, continuing with Sean Stone, and have Jeff Steinberg on to get into the Cecil Rhodes whole system and this whole New World Order system. We're going to go to Alex here in the next segment, but in the 4 minutes we've got left in this short segment, Sean Stone, other points you want to make about Greystone, is going to be called Secret Stone, Greystone, when do we are going to see this film, where can we check it out on the web, IMDb, what should we do?
No, it's almost as though, you know, the forces of darkness are not exactly happy we're revealing something, because I think it's very honest, and it's been a very tough film to make. We've had a few setbacks in terms of financing falling through, but the film is cut, so we're just working through finishing it, and then you know, ideally toward the end of the year we should have something at least starting to come out. I'm not sure what venue yet, but we'll get theatrical sooner or later. It's everything's a process, especially in the independent film.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It really is tough.
Now you got interrupted by the break. You were getting into Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, admitted worship of Lucifer, the elites obsessed with numerology, voodoo. I haven't heard of all people, Michael Savage saying yesterday, he wasn't joking, he believes the royal family's into the occult. Multiple British prime ministers, Tony Blair's in major newspapers, being possessed by a spirit flopping around the ground. His wife's a witch. I mean, this is mainstream news, folks. Just Google Tony Blair, the occult. You'll get all the mainstream news. They are into this. Why do people in power positions, why so often are they Hitler, you name it, obsessed with the occult?
I think it's clear. I think it's biblical. Think about the fallen angels in the Book of Enoch. The concept that, you know, when Lucifer and the army of the fallen come to Earth, they become the so-called watchers. They teach. They come to copulate with female women and to teach man the mysteries, to teach him to teach him magic, to teach him metallurgy, to teach him the crafts of, you know, for warfare and for politics. They are the various civilizations of old talk about these gods who give them the information for agriculture, for example, right? The great solar teachers, the great white Anki, for example, or the sun god of the Mayans and these various cultures. They're all gods, right? So imagine that they're not, it's not about alien or not, it's just it's something of a higher order, of a demonic sort, or angelic, perhaps, in its positive aspects, but in its negative aspects, it's demonic. And if these fallen are separated from God, and they are the rulers of this earth, the secret rulers, the shadow rulers, that makes more sense to me in terms of conspiracy, because the conspiracy is so far-reaching and ongoing. How can you maintain this? People ask about centuries and bloodlines. Why do bloodlines maintain their power and their interest? I mean, I know certain people, certain families that tell me, oh, if your money doesn't go back to pre-1400, you're nouveau riche.
Yeah.
Now think about that. I mean, what kind of world do we actually live in? I mean, most of us really live blind and in this kind of existential crisis day to day. That's the way that we're meant to live.
More blind than the atheist.
And no one is more blind than the atheist. That's very true. Because faith is the one thing that kept me alive, I'm sure, throughout this entire journey into that realm, was the pure faith that, you know, in God and trust in Him. And, you know, His words, Christ's words, I always invoked, because ultimately I know that protected me in very dark times from very scary things that happened and very malevolent people.
Yeah, well, you also come from a powerful family, and that attracts this type of stuff as well. We'll be right back. Like for like, birds of a feather fly together. Sean Stone's our guest. Stay with us. Alex Wraith joining us as well.
Yes.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Sean Stone, the maker of Greystone, an upcoming film, son of Oliver Stone, actor, producer, writer, director in his own right, is our guest. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to shift gears into his thesis at Princeton dealing with the New World Order, Cecil Rhodes, Anglo-American establishment, Rhodes more well-traveled, more of this world. But as they say in Shakespeare, there is more in this world, Horatio, than just the things that are in your books. But going back to Sean Stone, Sean, what does your dad, Oliver Stone, think of this work you're doing? You were telling me that you met Alex at some type of event with your dad, Alex Wraith, we're about to go to. What does Oliver Stone not just think of the paranormal investigation you're doing, but also your thesis at Princeton years ago with the New World Order? Obviously, he knows about the hidden establishment as evidenced by JFK and other seminal works he's done.
I think he's actually doing a history series right now, 10-part history series or 12-part for Showtime, and it's called The Forgotten History of America. And he's getting into some of these things because he's focusing on mostly the Cold War period, but from World War II for the most part forward. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to speak too much, you know, for him, but I think, you know, the most important thing, at the end of the day, he's an artist, and I think he would not consider himself, you know, politically driven, insofar as he feels that he has a certain obligation you have to society, and I think he feels, you know, that Greek conception of a society that he wants to help in his quest for truth, and that he can do that by being an artist. And I think he encourages me insofar as it's a very difficult, obviously, business that we're in, film, because you really don't know from day to day where your next project's going to come from, where your money's going to come from, your paycheck, you know, because there's always droughts. But at least I know that he encourages this ultimate quest for truth and a desire to sort of serve society through, if it's through art, if it's through storytelling, then so be it. However you can be of service and be of aid to your culture.
Sure. Well, we didn't get you here to just talk about your dad, but obviously it's fascinating. You watch the film Any Given Sunday, where all the football teams have names like Templars, Aztecs. We see all-seeing eyes on the backs of the football helmets. I mean, obviously your dad's letting everybody know he really knows what's going on.
Well, less than you may think. I think a lot of it has to do, you know, this is why the paranormal realm is quite interesting, because, you know, a lot of what artists channel is unconscious, and they, you know, it's part of that so-called collective unconscious of Jung talks about.
Jungian psychology, yes.
Yeah. This issue is a collective unconsciousness, and when I think my father would say is that he draws, you know, the doors, for example, right, is very imbued with symbolism that could be interpreted as magical and mystical. But fundamentally, I don't think my father really got into that realm, and nor does he necessarily want to know too much about it. I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think that he may know as much as you're implying about secret societies.
Sure.
And I think he doesn't want to, but he does channel it, because we all have this reptilian brain, let's say, and we have our pineal gland, and we're able to, through meditation, and to actually, you know, hone in on certain energies and waves that are around us, and they're imparting information.
Yeah,
well,
that's the 100 monkey system. They found that monkeys in a research lab 3 miles away in the Caribbean, once they've taught the other monkeys at another facility 3 miles away, magically the other monkeys suddenly are able to do the same task without being taught it. That's been proven over and over again. I just think about, didn't your dad write Scarface?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Scarface, Tony Montana saying, it's the banks. They had it for 1,000 years. They'll have it in 1,000 years. They're the one laundering the money. There it is, government drug dealing. I mean, he's obviously super smart, is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's very intuitive and very intelligent. I think sometimes he maybe doesn't want to run into certain, you know, at the end of the day, you kind of have to make your deals with the devil, in a sense, if you want to keep working. So he may not want to be as overt in attacking.
Sure, just here's a big blockbuster movie where the State Department's meeting in South America with Tony Montana about assassinating somebody from the UN to cover up government drug dealing. I mean, I'm just saying, wow, and just giving him some props there. Shifting gears to your associate, Alex Wraith, why don't you introduce him again instead of, he's got a long bio here with films and research and screenwriting, but introduce Alexander Wraith.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm, as I said in the beginning, I met Alex at a dinner with my father back in 2009. He's a good friend of my dad's, and I had never met him before. So I was in New York for Wall Street for one day shooting a scene, and we all had dinner that night, and Alex was going on about these various projects he was putting together as a writer, and he was breaking into these mental hospitals and you know, trying to shoot a little movie, like, you know, really candid camera style. And I loved, and I just loved his energy, and I thought, let's go in. I'm curious about this realm, this paranormal realm that I've always been curious about, but I never had experienced it in any way. I never had any phenomena throughout my life, and I was 24 at the time. So I went with Alex that the next night, and he's just a very intrepid adventurer, and very, you know, very courageous, and always, you know, willing to take a leap and dare and live it and experience it, and, you know, never backing down from a challenge. So we went, and we had these whole series. That was, you know, Greystone was only the beginning of experiencing haunted phenomenon and going to mental hospitals.
Well, we're definitely going to have you back on in the future with Alex to break down some of the other experiences. Alex Wraith joining us. Alex, how did you get into all this? I mean, how did you begin investigating this?
Well, to tell you the truth, Alex, it's kind of like the way you go out, and, you know, you guys hit up the Bohemian Grove, and it's for that same feeling, it's that same, you know, to get that, not rush, but to explore, to be an explorer, a modern-day explorer, like, to go into the adventure unknown. You know, when you go into a building, or when you go into tunnels, or when you go into an area that's unexplored, and no one's really really there. You get an essence of like of just conquering, you know.
The final frontier.
Exactly. Exactly.
The fourth dimension.
That's it, man. The fourth dimension.
Literally.
By the way, that Einstein's calculations proved. So continue. Tell us about the film Greystone.
Okay. Well, Greystone basically we came up with this concept around at the same time as Paranormal Activity. Paranormal Activity was, you know, a cool film, cool concept about entities and all that stuff. But Greystone is actually real. If you Google or YouTube Greystone, it's a building that existed. It was built in the 1800s, had thousands and thousands of patients, you know, and these patients went through hell, man. They, you know, basically what medicine...
No, they pioneered lobotomies there. I mean, I've seen, before I ever heard about you guys in this, I've seen the mainline reports of what a hellhole this place was.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If you see the videos and what they did to these people and how they learned and how they experimented... And the confusion and the complete chaos in medicine and whatnot, it's just really, it's heart-wrenching. And, you know, over 7,000 people died in this one building. So you can imagine the energy you feel when you step foot on this property and you're in the woods in the dark and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and there's, you know, you're looking around and it's heavily guarded and there's brush and there's deer running around. You know, you have no idea and you hear things and all of a sudden you enter this colossus of a live entity with, you feel the eyes staring at you, you know, and this is what it's about. This is what we're trying to convey to people and to wake people up, you know, to wake up their spiritual side and to see.
Well, I always go with the most probable, and I'm no doubt there's spiritual things going on, and I know the CIA with Dr. Ewing Cameron and Dr. Jolly and West and others did have massive mind control going on at many of these facilities, and you say the lights are still on in many areas there. I've seen news articles about it. Couldn't it be that you guys walked into basically a CIA mind control operation?
Well, listen, the government did a lot of testing there, whether it be with Marines, whether it be with LSD, and super soldiers, as if you want to call it. But there was definitely a lot of testing done in these facilities. A lot of that's why they have these underground tunnels. You know, they have 20 miles of underground tunnels connecting to various buildings around the entire area. So they would do experiments. They would do what they had to do, and then all of a sudden, no one would know anything about it because these patients would be wielded underground. I mean, there's files, there's articles. This place was just left. They locked it up. They boarded it up. There's videos. There's tapes. You know,
I've seen news photos of it with filing cabinets, couches. Normally, government doesn't do that. Why did they leave it intact?
I think personally that things still go on in this place because, you know, the fans still work, the lights still work. There's lights in the, you know, we were just in the catacombs a couple weeks ago. And there's lights in the catacombs, man. This is like, you know, 2 stories below ground.
Well, look at the movie Conspiracy Theory back in the mid-90s with, of course, Mel Gibson. In that movie, the government mind controller takes him to an abandoned mental institution.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Now, if you think about it, what better place? Who's going to go look there? You know? Who's going to go look there? You have all the signs.
Well, look, in Eastern Europe it came out. Hundreds of ghost sites at former mental institutions, Sean.
Yeah. So what are you saying? The ghost sites at the former mental institutes, meaning what?
I don't know. It's just strange to see that congruency there, that it's just the government likes to use abandoned mental institutions.
I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, it's a great place to hide bodies, that's for sure. Like Alex said, who's going to look? It seems to me like it would be, yes, if you were doing like, the greatest game, certain experiments, yes, you could do them in controlled ways, but it's not really functional insofar as, you know, everything's run down. The furniture is run down. The equipment is run down. It's not, we would have seen something, I think, if there was like a room that was still being used with very elaborate machinery. That's a different style of test. You know, I think that's what you're talking about is a different style, like modern day MKUltra.
So you think this is, you really think this is some type of spiritual vortex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%.
Well, the pictures of the people that we have are not human, that's for sure.
human-looking
things.
Well, I can't wait to see this film. We're going to come back with a final segment on this subject with Alex Wraith. And of course, Sean Stone. And then we're going to continue with Sean Stone and get one of the head guys from Lyndon LaRouche's organization on. I've never had a mix this wild on air. We'll be right back. Infowars.com.
Alex Jones here with key information. The U.S. government is a Ponzi scheme that relies on the Treasury continuously selling large amounts of government bonds to foreign central banks. With Japan about to become a seller of U.S. bonds in order to rebuild its own nation, and the U.S. antagonizing China by calling them currency manipulators, the Federal Reserve, which is already buying about 70% of U.S. treasuries, will soon be the only buyer left of U.S. treasuries. Our friends at the National Inflation Association believe that the U.S. dollar will soon become worthless, and Americans will see the purchasing power of their incomes and savings destroyed. I strongly urge my fellow Americans to sign up for the free NIA newsletter at www.inflation.us. If you are sick and tired of the economic propaganda and the mainstream media, sign up for free at inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Well, an unconventional Friday second half of radio transmission. I'll be going into overdrive to cover other financial and world news dealing with Libya, Delaware neighborhoods, the government's coming in and stealing out of people's yards and cul-de-sacs their basketball hoops and then screaming at the slaves, letting them know they can't have them. I'm going to play that if I have time as well. Alexander Wraith, director, producer, actor, is also a guest with us, working with Sean Stone on the film Greystone. That we'll be getting a look at very soon. I can't wait to see it myself. We're going to be shifting gears, though, into his research that he did his thesis at Princeton on the New World Order as intended by Rhodes Trust to be an Anglo-American empire. But finishing up in this short segment, long segment coming up, other points, Alex and Sean, that need to be made about your research and what you discovered when you looked into Greystone and what that led you to.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think the most important thing that we all have to remember is that this is real. You know, people always look on the internet and watch movies and it's fantasy to them. But this is, you know, this is flat out in your face, man. I mean, it opens up your senses. It opens up your spiritual side and it unlocks certain parts of you. It literally will change you as a person and as a human being. You know, when you go into this realm and you venture and you experience these entities. So we have to always, you know, the most important part about this film is please, whoever watches it, understand that it's an actual film and these are actual events. This is not like some made up, you know, handheld little project for fun. We're diving into like some deep territories and we're getting in deep, you know.
Well, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It's very dangerous. I mean, what happened the night was pretty amazing, actually. Alex was over here with a girlfriend of ours, and the three of us were basically like, you know, about to go to sleep. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and the doorbell rings. And we go to answer the door, and it's strange because in my building you can't get up without having the phone, the doorman call up in advance. So we go to the door, and no one's outside. Just go back to, okay, fine, you know, like it's strange, go back to bed, and I get a phone call from an unknown number. And I'm like, oh no, this is it. Like, usually they call me from an unknown number when these demons call, it's an unknown number. So I'm like, go get the camera, I'm going to record this. As soon as I said that, the phone shut off. So I get back in bed, on the verge of falling asleep, and boom, the door slams inside of the room by itself.
Yeah.
No way, it just slams. I mean, it's a big door. Everyone jumped. So we run. Oh, jeez, what's going on?
Well, yeah. Let me bring this up. Was this stuff happening before you got involved with Alex?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So the point is that it's become very intense, and it's almost as though, like, the more you're aware of it, your knowledge protects you. But on the other hand, you know, it does make you more powerful insofar as you're...
Well, no, they say you got to invite the vampire in, but once you've invited it in by getting into it, like when you buy the Ouija board, that's when this reportedly starts. But, I mean, Alex, I'm not trying to put you on the hot seat here, but notice this starts when you meet, through his dad, Oliver Stone, you meet Sean Stone, you take him to this abandoned mental institution, and then he sees these things, and he said it could have been people that were inside there posing as this. I'm not trying to, you know, say you're a bad guy here, but, I mean, maybe people are playing you, maybe they're manipulating you, or this could be a setup somehow.
No, I completely admit. I completely understand it, and you know, this is a relevant a point. But you have to understand that the artist alone sees the spirit, and when he talks about it, and when he explains it, and when he takes it, and when you experience the essence of it, everyone else sees it. That's the thing. It's you know, Sean to me is a great guy, and he's very courageous because of the fact that I've taken probably 20 to 30 people to this place, and I'm talking. I'm talking about SWAT team guys. I'm talking about, you know, I have a lot of friends that are in law enforcement. They wouldn't even enter the building, Alex. These guys look at the building. Maybe one guy went inside. He jumped right out the window. So when Sean goes into this place, and I can see fear in his eyes, and I can see, you know, he's very, very hesitant about going in, but he actually takes the next step.
Well listen, step. I'm going to be in the East soon. I want to be taken there.
I'll be more than happy, man. With pleasure. It'll be amazing.
Sean, will you go with me there again?
Let's do it. Let's go with the camera. Let's
let's go.
That's a great idea, man. That's a wonderful idea.
Let's do it. Where is this located again?
It's in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay, because I'm going to be in New York in June for the Talkers keynote. I'm not kidding around. If it fits in with your schedule, I'm ready to go in, just like Bohemian Grove.
That would be awesome. Amazing, man.
Me and Ventura have been talking about trying to check out Skull and Bones, but I shouldn't talk about that. But I'm ready. Let's go.
That guy got footage of Skull and Bones a few years ago.
That was the guy at New York Observer, Cockburn.
Yeah, we got the footage from above, right? He stole some footage. That was pretty cool.
And they're like, Satan, give us power! Yeah, sacrifice! Yeah, yeah. Satan, give me power!
Yeah.
This is where Bush is hanging out. Yeah, no, this stuff goes on. It's crazy. Well, I'm watching you here on video Skype, Sean. You look like somebody who's not engaged in baloney. You look genuinely electrified and freaked out. Something's going on here. Maybe government psyops with HARP or something. Alex Wraith, great having you on. We'll talk to you again soon. We're coming back with Sean on the other side, shifting gears into the Anglo-American establishment. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Here we go. The Spring Break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into hell for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's getthetea.com.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Sean Stone, an accomplished director, writer, dozens and dozens of film roles, more cameos. Aaron Dykes made the joke. Then Alfred Hitchcock, he's riding shotgun with us for the rest of the hour. I'm going into overdrive next hour. We may just keep these guys unless they get exhausted. I've always wanted to get Jeff Steinberg, a senior editor of the Intelligence Review, Executive Intelligence Review, on. You know, I remember first reading that 16, 17 years ago and not knowing if it was accurate, and then doing my own research over the years and finding just how on spot they were. Now, I'll be honest, I don't completely agree with Lynn LaRouche's political solutions, but I do agree with the political analysis, and they've been on the forefront of exposing fractional reserve banking, the Anglo-American British banking structure, the predicting the wars they were going to launch. And what was fun about getting Sean Stone on is he said, I want to get Jeff Steinberg on. And that's great because the phone call to him resulted in LaRouche is going to be joining us via video connection for the TV viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv and the radio listeners sometime next week. But we're going to again be talking with Jeff Steinberg and Sean Stone throughout the rest of the hour. Sean, I noticed that at Princeton, your thesis was on the Anglo-American establishment, Cecil Rhodes, their admissions of this plan for world government 100 years ago. Now you can see it being established. It's not a new world order. It's an old world order. Break that down and why you wanted to get Mr. Steinberg on with you.
Wait, Alex, the question being about the thesis or about...
All of it. I mean, the thesis is what LaRouche is doing, yeah.
In two minutes, it's like the O'Reilly factor, right? I just love the fact that you actually take time to actually talk to your guests. And what's interesting to me is actually if you think about how the brainwashing works in this country, the media talks so quickly. If you go on a show like O'Reilly or Hannity and Combs or whatnot, you know, there's no time to actually have any kind of conversation. So there's, you know, the idea of actual debate or a public debate and any kind of any conception of democracy, you know, there's time for synthesis, there's time for rebuttal. It doesn't exist in that form. So people think that's democracy, you know. And then, you know, you get someone like LaRouche, who I frankly admire for his courage. You know, he's an outsider, but he's also inside. You know, he knows the establishment guys, and they hate him. And I know people who, yeah, frankly, I don't have allegiance to anyone because at the end of the day, I feel. You have to, you know, I believe in the Republic of the United States. I believe in the Constitution, and I want to see that prevail in the coming world. So when I heard LaRouche's work, I was skeptical at first, but step by step, I did my own research, and I wanted to sort of, you know, I always want to follow up and find out for myself if I agree with it, and then, you know, you continue the argument over and over. But the point is that why is it that someone like LaRouche doesn't get out into any kind of mainstream format? Well, there's a reason for it, because, you know, certain people working from the top down, let's say, have basically put a mandate. He cannot be put into any kind of public forum for discussion, even when his people are out, you know, denouncing Obama, and they'll have pictures in the New York Times of his people, but they won't even mention that it's his people.
Well, Sean, I remember, I've watched videos of LaRouche interviews in the early 60s breaking it all down before Carol Quigley, who was on the other team, admitted, you know, the head of Georgetown Political Science, Bill Clinton's mentor, admitted everything LaRouche had said 5-6 years later in Tragedy and Hope. So there's no doubt LaRouche and LaRouche Pack's analysis of the problems is the most piercing and deep I've seen. I've learned a lot from it. Webster Tarpley, who's a routine guest, came out of that whole camp with his own perspective. And so stay with us. I want to bring in here, well, before we go to Jeff Steinberg, what was your awakening like as you did your thesis on the Anglo-American establishment? In a minute or two, sum that up.
Yeah, my interest was, it began this figure of William Yandel Elliott, who was allegedly Henry Kissinger's mentor at Harvard. He was his thesis advisor for Kissinger, as well as he was influential with people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, Sam Huntington, that whole politics department at Harvard. In fact, he was influential for people like McGeorge Bundy and the... I think it might have been McGeorge, or was it the other Bundy, because there's the family, right? But the point is, it's this old Boston Brahmin kind of crowd, right? The people who are Harvard establishment guys. Yandel Elliott was there for 40 years, government department, political, you know, this is a powerful position to hold. And, you know, you obviously have influence on young minds. And being at Princeton, you know, what was amazing to me is that people don't realize, they think you're getting a good education, and yet what they don't teach you is just as important as what they do. You know, if they're giving you, in the economics department's giving you a basic analysis of economics as either socialist in the Marxist conception or free market doctrinaire in the Adam Smith conception, you're not studying American history. Because Hamilton, and this tradition of Hamilton, Matthew Carey, Henry Carey, Lincoln, the Whig Party, is an American system of economics, was completely anti-Marx and anti-Smith.
A totally different third rail, and then you learn there's many other selections as well. They're limiting the paradigm.
Exactly. So the idea of the paradigm is being controlled through universities was key to me. And I thought, okay, so let's look at Yandel Elliott. Who, look at his connections. He comes out of the Vanderbilt and the sort of Tennessee network that probably, you know, designs Al Gore years later, because they're really agrarians. They're like very much anti-industrialization. They're very, you know, they live in this sort of this lost cause, romanticized Civil War era, right? And this is his background. Then he goes to Oxford and, as a Rhodes Scholar. And I also went to Oxford for one semester or for two terms. But I mean, not to say that I was. It's not to say you going to Harvard makes you an evil person. But the point was that he was brought into the Rhodes Scholarship for a reason. That he was being given a certain orientation in life, and I wanted to study his orientation to political philosophy, to politics, why he was advocating, why this guy in America was advocating the continuation of the American of the British Empire, essentially through the UN. You see, the initial conception for the British point of view, not necessarily Roosevelt's, but British point of view of the UN was we preserve the colonies by basically, you know, by making them part of this UN mandate. And if we can use the UN as this forum, you know, we can go towards a world government and never really relinquish the colonies and use our free market models of corporate monopolies and mineral extractions and whatnot to maintain a constant, oversight over these newly independent countries. Right? I mean, the irony of the Cold War is that Britain and France never relinquished their colonies at the time of 45, and yet Stalin is supposed to relinquish Poland. And yet, you know, they still, you know, the British and the French have, you know, still a quarter of the world. But we're making a big deal about Poland. You know, it's like, think about the nonsense. Think about the illogic of this argument.
Well, it's the hypocrisy of calling this new war not a war, but kinetic military action. Ground forces they're talking about putting in being humanitarian force, though they come with weapons. Going to Jeff Steinberg, a writer for the Executive Intelligence Review, their senior editor, LaRouchePub.com. Jeff, is that the best website to give out?
Yeah, LaRouchePub.com, and then there's also LaRouchePAC.com, where you're going to find an enormous amount of video news material, background documentation. That site is updated 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Well, Jeff, it's good to have you here, and at the same time with Sean Stone, what a Alex Jones, Sean Stone, and Jeff Steinberg, what a mix of people. Overall, we've given some of the background here, but it's clear that the predicted global slide into hyperinflation, currency collapses, and the Anglo-American establishment trying to launch new wars to get themselves out of it that's been so predicted by you and LaRouche and others in detail is now becoming reality.
Absolutely right. And the problem that they've got is that the international financial system is so hopelessly bankrupt that they can't carry out enough hyperinflation to bail out their bubble. So we're in a unique moment where they are in trouble and where the only thing that really threatens them in a serious way is the prospect of the United States returning to its senses and going back to our Republican roots and wiping out this financial bubble. Within the next several months at the most, by no later than June, Bernanke's going to be faced with the unenviable situation of having to announce QE3, quantitative easing take 3, and the numbers I'm getting are that he's going to have to announce at minimum another $1 trillion taxpayers bailout through hyperinflationary printing by the Fed to prevent the blowout of one or more of the big six New York banks. And when that happens, there is going to be a revolt, even from inside some of the regional Federal Reserve presidents who know that we're already in a hyperinflationary crisis.
That's right. The Dallas head of the Fed is sounding like a Jeff Steinberg or Lenin LaRouche just last week, and there's only so many economies that they can suck in and so many taxpayers they can sign on to their debt. When you look at the 1,000-plus trillion in the aggregate in derivatives, this is impossible. We had Davos 3 months ago demanding $100 trillion in additional liquidity.
Exactly. And you're right. Richard Fisher from Dallas, Bullard, the St. Louis Fed president, 2 days ago flipped sides. He was a big backer of Bernanke. He's now gone the other way.
That shows they're scared. That's scary.
That's right. Exactly. Charles Evans, head of the Chicago Fed, another big booster of Bernanke's hyperinflation, has also suddenly gotten cold feet. So there's going to be a fight on this. And this time around, you're going to have to deliver a real no. And the point that Mr. LaRouche has been making, that there are two things that have to happen if the United States is going to survive this fiasco. Number one, you have to go back to Glass-Steagall in the full sense of the word. You've got to actually re-separate out the commercial banks from the gambling casinos that the merchant banks and hedge funds and brokerage houses have become. And by doing that, what we intend to do is just simply wipe out that 17 or so trillion dollars in bailout by taxpayers and let Wall Street sink into the Hudson River.
Well, that's what's amazing to interrupt. Then I want to get Sean's take on it and continue. We'll go into overdrive because stations carry the fourth hour. If you gentlemen can do it, if not, we'll end it there, and I'll just come back. But I remember the BBC, the Times of London. In fact, let's put it on screen if we can find it. I'm springing that on my guys. The headline 3 or 4 months ago was foreign bank should run Ireland, and the head of their private central bank said, yes, this isn't the Irish debt. We are paying off foreign banks so they don't go under, but it's good to have foreign banks run us. They're just flaunting it, almost hiding in plain view how asinine this is, Jeff.
That's exactly right. In fact, the Lisbon Treaty was a suicide pact that was imposed on all of the formerly sovereign governments of Europe. And if you remember correctly, the Irish voted no on Lisbon. The Lisbon Treaty was actually at that point dead, and the Interalpha banking crowd, the City of London and allied financiers, said, no, we're going to go for a second revote. The whole thing is completely illegal, and I think we've reached now a moment in Europe where we're on the verge of a real perfect storm. Ireland, the current government, is now going to go into a crisis because as of today, they've caved in to pressure from the European Central Bank, and they've said that they will not demand that the bondholders take a haircut. So Ireland is not going to be able to make those debt payments, and you've got a very vibrant reaction that was reflected in the high vote for Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin in the Irish parliamentary vote.
And then that leads to Portugal and then Spain, and Germany's already saying no in bankrolling this. We can see the breakup of the EU.
Yeah, exactly. It's coming. I think it may blow up before the June meeting of the European heads of state. And by the way, add to that list the unspoken other really big case of a bankrupt situation, which is Italy. Nobody talks about that. They're a little bit better at cooking the books. But after Spain, an even bigger blowout and bailout is Italy.
So Jeff, what's the order of this in Europe? When does it hit England and the U.S., as we know that are in even greater debt?
Well, I think that the fact of the matter is that the core of the City of London centered financial oligarchy is a banking group called the Interalpha Group, set up by Lord Jacob Rothschild back in 1971, right at the point that the whole Bretton Woods system was being taken down. And many of the leading banks of the dozen banks in this Interalpha Group are already the recipients of many of these big bailouts from the various governments and taxpayers. So right now, the biggest bankruptcy is actually centered in the City of London and on Wall Street.
And that's why Bloomberg admits today that the biggest section, the largest amount of money, was not U.S. banks. That proves what you're saying. It was actually EU and British-based banks, and not just them. Libya was getting American taxpayer money.
Exactly right. Yeah, this was something that one of the rare moments where the Supreme Court, did something useful. They refused to give cert to a second court, appeals court ruling that ordered the Fed to disclose to Bloomberg and, ironically, Bloomberg and Fox, the full list of loans that the Fed made during the 2007-2008 crisis. And you're right, an overwhelming percentage of that loan money from the Fed, from American taxpayers, watering down the value of the dollar through this printing operation, went to overseas banks. Gaddafi was a big beneficiary.
So everybody's blaming American lifestyles for this and unions as a scapegoat. Meanwhile, Europe for the last year, 2 years, been grandstanding against the West. Turns out it's the U.S. that's been actually bleeding out for them.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, three cheers for Senator Saunders, who was the first person to get the one thing into the Dodd-Frank bill that meant a damn bit of good, namely forcing the Fed disclosures, and now we're just seeing the follow-on to that with this court ruling.
Well, this is too incredible with Jeff Steinberg. I'm so glad that Sean Stone made the suggestion to get you on with him. Let me just ask live on air, and if you can't do it, or one of you can't, just tell me now, here on the air, do you guys want to do 20 minutes into the next hour so we can continue to flesh this out and get some comments from Sean back?
I'd love to. Sean, yeah. You good?
Yeah, I'll stay on with you.
Okay, great. Okay, we're going to break in 1 minute. When we come back, I want to get some comments from Sean. But breaking this down, because, folks, Jeff Steinberg's 100% on for my own research and has a higher level of understanding following this for decades. What are you going to cover? Give us a preview when we come back from break, Jeff.
Okay, well, look, I think that there's more to say about this whole confluence of the absolute bankruptcy breakdown of the financial system, the Libya business, and I think that there's something very relevant to President Obama, which is his willful takedown of some of the most critical science programs that right now are our first line of defense against some potentially very serious natural disaster catastrophes.
All right, that's right. You're looking at the Ring of Fire, too, and what's intensifying there. We're going to cover that all 20 minutes into the next hour. Then I'm going to continue with news and information into the fourth hour today with Sean Stone, a director, writer in his own right, actor, and also the son of Oliver Stone, and Jeff Steinberg, Executive Intelligence Review Senior Editor. I'm Alex Jones.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. The earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster that killed thousands of Japanese citizens is nothing compared to the devastation that could be caused by hyperinflation that will soon hit the United States and could lead to millions of Americans becoming homeless, all caused by the devalued U.S. dollar. While the mainstream media continues to ignore inflation, our friends at the National Inflation Association provide a free weekly newsletter that educates Americans of the facts and truth about the U.S. economy and inflation. I urge you to sign up at the NIA's free newsletter at www.inflation.us to learn how you can not only survive, but prosper during the upcoming hyperinflation crisis. Silver has more than doubled since the NIA declared silver the best investment for the next decade on inflation.us. The NIA's team of expert economists are happy to answer any economic questions you have about inflation, debt, currencies, real estate, precious metals, and commodities. Visit inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
All right, going into the fourth hour live today with Jeff Steinberg and Sean Stone. Comments on what Jeff Steinberg's been breaking down here. I mean, absolutely on target. The world is in such a key state of flux right now, and the banks that have engineered this system, they're in a lot of trouble. What's your view on what's happening, Sean?
Indeed. My view on what's happening? It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? I don't think there's any irony in the fact that it's coming around 2012. We approach this date. I think that there's Jeff will get into this a bit more, but there is this factor of what is happening to the planet on a physical, geophysical plane, right? In terms of its relationship to sun, solar spot activity is really intensified, which means the electromagnetic rays from the sun are bombarding the planet, you know, contributing to this so-called Ring of Fire activity from the Haiti quake to Chile.
By the way, I had a top astrophysicist, Piers Corbin, on 3 weeks ago, and he concurred that, you know, on the day of the tsunami and the mega earthquake, there was a record solar flare that the magnetics hit the world, and then there was also the moon, the closest it had been to the Earth in 20 years, a giant moon. And he said 100% that's what did it.
Exactly. And so what you have is this whole issue of an end game and end times converging, which is what's most interesting to me. That, you know, it's not hidden, for example, that the Masons are particularly interested by the Book of Revelation. And it's as though there was a realization for a long time that we were going to hit this period of geological upheaval and overall bombardment of cosmic radiation, which we don't even understand all the implications of it. I think, frankly, the ancient Egyptians and various Mayan-related civilizations, maybe the Sumerians, would have understood it a bit better than us because of their orientations towards the stars. And so really the goal is now to advance ourselves scientifically in understanding what is this concept of radiation. Why don't we study nuclear power? We're so freaked out by nuclear power that we're not willing to really understand what it is that makes an atom. As we know, we don't quite know what gravity is to this day. There's four essential forces, right? The weak force, strong force, electromagnetic, and gravitational forces. They're all acting upon us as beings. So when I say I'm fascinated by the concept of energy and plasmas and how plasma is the fourth state of matter, and this is potentially where some of this paranormal activity is coming from, why don't we try to understand it scientifically? Because it's going to have impacts in our lifetime, I believe. And
we're
going to
cover this Ring of Fire report out of LaRouchePub.com more. But in the few minutes we got left in this hour, Jeff, starting to get into what you were talking about, dealing with this financial collapse, how are the globalists going to try to manage this?
Well, you pointed out yourself just a few moments ago that one thing that they always resort to in these kinds of crisis points is to start up wars. And but I think that it's important that on a deeper level, what you've got embedded within this international financial oligarchy is a faction that is really radical Malthusian in the sense that they believe that this combination of a financial meltdown with various potentials for permanent wars in major parts of the globe can bring about their long-term objective, which is the vast reduction of the population of this planet down from the current level of about 7 billion people to somewhere in the range of under 2 billion. You know, Prince Philip, who was the founder of the World Wildlife Fund back in the early 1960s, along with Prince Bernhard, openly said that it's his desire to be reincarnated as a deadly virus so that he can help participate in the reduction of the world population by 80%. So some of these guys are deluded into thinking that if you unleash this kind of cataclysm, that somehow or other there's a few high-minded people in the oligarchy that are going to survive it. And my message to them is read Boccaccio's Decameron and find out what a folly that was the last time we plunged into a dark age.
All right, world depopulation, that's their agenda. Back in 1 minute.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.